people now can do anything they want to do and feel like they're right. It's a falling away. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is what? Worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. So he'll get all the religious people that don't have the mark. So when we read Revelation 13 and 16, and he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. What is your right hand? That is your strength. That is your power. Even as Jesus sat on the right hand of God. It wasn't, God's a spirit. He couldn't sit on the right hand of a spirit because the spirit's over there too. So you move over, he's just over there too. So you can't sit on the right hand. What it means is he was the power of God. So that Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So he was the right hand of God. So all these that receive the mark in their right hand, their strength, or in their foreheads, that they might not buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, because I don't want to squeal on you, but how many of you don't have a Social Security number? Sounds like you got the mark. You can't buy or sell without it. You can't even get a government handout without it. Now, you can create one, but you can't. You've got to have something. And that mark is your number. It's man's number. Yeah, I'm telling you, people say, well, I won't give you my Social Security number. They say, next. If you don't give people, you don't give the right people your Social Security number, you don't get your Social Security check either. So somehow have we all taken the mark and we're all going to hell? Well, Lord, they give babies the mark before they get out of the, you can't even get out of the hospital now without a mark. It's who you worship. It's what's going to make the difference. So we read a little further, Revelation 14 and 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Many people think this is America. I think it's the whole world's going to fall. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink the wine and the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive, see, it's an and, you do this and you do that, and receive the mark in the forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine and the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto a cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. This is eternity. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here's what we need to know. Here are they that kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They have a mark too. They have kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. There is a mark of the beast and a mark of the blessed. And it's all based on who you worship. Now let me go. Can I go a little bit more? Okay. Revelation 16 and 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them that worshipped his image. So God will separate, you see, those that had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image, they're going to get the grievous sores. That's not me. That's not me. God never poured his wrath out on his people. He even tried to spare old Lot. So he didn't catch his wrath. And so one day, there's going to be this final battle that I call the Battle of the Marks, where you're going to have a real Armageddon war over who's claiming who. I don't have time to even really talk about it, but the fight will be over the bodies of the saints. I preached a sermon called Over My Dead Body. That's the fight. Going to be over my dead body. And I saw the beast, Revelation 19:19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on a horse. And again, this is a battle of the marks and against his army. And the beast was taken. Oh, thank God, I'm on the winning side. And the beast was taken, and with him that old false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. He deceived them. Those both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of the mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is very much along with Ezekiel, what he said, and I've already read to you. Okay, so I hope this opens up your understanding now about the mark, because even when Paul was sitting in a jail cell, he said these words, brother. He wrote in Philippians, he said, I press. Yeah. Everybody going to know I'm serving God. You may have this on me. You may strike me, but you're going to know I'm serving God. I'm going to leave my mark. There's some people that pass through life, you don't even know they can, but there's some people leave their mark. I'm going to leave my mark. Everybody, whether you know it or not, is seeking some kind of mark, some kind of desire, some kind of objective in life. And they'll talk about their mark. See, that's what people talk about, their mark, what they've accomplished, what they've done. And if we're not careful, we will get away from the mark that we should be striving to get. And people tell great things in life about how much money they made and how big a house they have and all these things to impress you that I've made my mark. But the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. There's the mark. There's what counts. The only thing that's going with you is the souls that you win or help to win. And I think, as Brother Valentine so plainly said, we are the body of Christ. I may be the preacher here, but Lord, I can't do it without you. I cannot do it without you. I need every one of you. You say, well, I just don't do much. Let me tell you, just sitting on the pew is a help. It's a help. Just coming to church and having ears is a help. So I'll close. Here's how the mark works in conclusion. Whatever in life you pursue after, it will overtake you. Whatever you pursue after, I don't care if it's a college degree, a job, whatever it is, whatever you pursue after, it overtakes you. So that even Jesus said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. It has consumed me. He left his mark. Because he was consumed by worshiping the one true God, of which he was. And he called his Father, as the Son of Man, he said he called him Father. But he was the Son of God in flesh. And he left his... Here we are 2,000 years later still talking about him. He left his mark. As they come tonight, we'll close with a song. A man that seeks after great wealth wants to leave his mark. And a man that seeks after God should want to leave his mark. And so we all have a mark we're going to leave behind. I want to be said that this man lived for God. I don't want there to be any doubt when you bump into me on the street, whoever you may be, whether you're in the world or not in the world, you know that this man works for God. I labor in his vineyard. So get ready for this last statement. In reality, the mark of the beast is to get you to mentally and physically be consumed with the things of the world. There you go. That's the mark. He wants you to physically and mentally be consumed by the things of the world. And that shows where your heart is. And that shows where your worship is. Does this make sense? And so by being consumed with the things of the world, the cares of this life, we deny that up there. Denying is not always saying, I'll never deny Jesus Christ. No, denying is just not recognizing it. Not doing what you're supposed to do is denying it. I hope the day doesn't come. Maybe it will. I'm not sure. Don't know. It's not happening right now. Nobody has a knife at my throat saying, deny Jesus Christ. That day may come. Yet, I'm afraid if we're not careful, we deny His name when we fail to worship Him. And we fail to praise Him. We fail to give Him the glory and the honor and being thankful. I'm telling you, that right there, that thankful thing, brother, that's the biggest thing you can ever have toward God, is be thankful for what God has already done. What He's already done. Not what He's going to do. What He's already done. When you look at the children of Israel, do you know why they were really turned back? Yes, they murmured and they complained. But read the scripture close. They were turned back because they were not thankful for what He had already done. And so many times we end up worshiping this world more than the one that brought us out of this world. So tonight I challenge you, be careful that you don't take the mark and never knew you took it. Sit on a pew and think more about things of the world than you do of God. Sit in a church house and sing in the choir and not really know the whole time you're worshiping the wrong one. Yes, you can lift your hands. Yes, you can do that. But where's your hands working? Where's your mind working? That's where the mark is. Would you stand with me tonight? Help us, God. I know this ain't no shouting message, but I want to tell you what. I hope I opened your eyes to the mark. You can take it and not even know you take it.